everybody. Terry Somerville here with part two from Pastor Barry Cardall. He's been teaching on God the Creator. Boy, yesterday's was so interesting. Talking about atheism and the fact, though, that when God created everything that exists, he is not part of his own creation. And so, you know, our mankind foolishly tries to find God inside the box. He's not inside the box. He puts himself in the box. He exists in the box by his own free will, and he desires to do that and reveal himself. But God isn't part of the box, you guys. And so we don't worship anything within the creation. We worship him who is completely other than, greater than, separate than, before all things that are created, yet is not far from any one of us. So anyway, here's part two from Pastor Barry Cardall at the Campbell River Vineyard.
Happened so quickly in the universe without some kind of direction, without some kind of intervention, without some intelligent, purposeful initiator to have put it into action. This is happening not with a bunch of, you know, born-again radical Christians. This is happening with atheists who are now looking at the evidence and who are saying, I think we've got a problem. Isn't that amazing? So what I'm saying to you is that this idea of creator, this little film we watched, this film is a joke. And just like the Big Bang Theory proved the Bible was right, now the fine-tuning of the universe and life itself is proving that the Bible is right. Amen? Now, I mean, that's just, I don't know, I just think that is an amazing, and it's important, As a matter of fact, the most, this is something people don't realize, but the most influential atheist of the 20th century, who was the grandfather of the modern atheist movement, he was the guy that inspired people like Richard Dawkins and this other guy, and his name was Anthony Flew, and he used to debate C.S. Lewis and about the existence of God back in the 1940s and 50s. So this sort of phenomenon about debating the existence of God is not new. And he came out in 2004 and he said this, and it actually rocked kind of the whole atheist movement. He said, I've changed my mind. I now believe in God. Now, not in, he became a deist, which means God is way out there. He's not really interacting with us on a personal level. But he said this. He started to believe in God, not because he was converted to faith, but because of science. And this is what he said. Let's look at the slide. I now believe there is a God. I now think it, the evidence, does point to a creative intelligence almost entirely because of the DNA investigation. So he's saying, look, when I saw what DNA was all about, I just said, this blows me away. What I think the DNA material has done is that it has shown by the almost unbelievable complexity of the arrangements which are needed to produce life that intelligence must have been involved in getting these extraordinarily diverse elements to work together. Amen? I mean, I just think it's amazing that this is happening. And what's happened is, now it gives permission to all kinds of other former atheists to now open up and think about the idea of a creator. Now many of them start thinking about other ideas like maybe aliens planted life on Earth. That's a big theory of theirs. It doesn't really answer anything because then you got to answer, well, where did the aliens come from? And so they stopped talking about that one. But here is the point. The Bible teaches us that God is the creator. But not only that, what the Bible says is that understanding God as the creator is absolutely essential to living out God's purpose for life. Unless you believe it, unless you know it, unless you really embrace this concept, you will not be able to live the life that God intends for you. So I want to read the story of Genesis. We're not going to look at the slide of it because there's a lot there. But I'm just going to read the story. And I have omitted some of it. So don't come back to me and say, you know what, you missed a whole chunk of it. I'm trying to show you something. So I've kind of taken a line and then maybe omitted a line. It's not heresy. The intent is there. You'll see that. But I want you to be impacted by just what the scripture is saying around the idea of God as creator. So just listen as I read this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." And he called this expanse the sky. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds." And it was so. And then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the waters teem according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. And then God said, "Let us make man. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Thus, it says, the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. Now, there's so much that we could talk about in the creation account, but today I want us to just look at the big picture ideas that show us who God is. And the first thing I want you to see is God is the source of creation. Before anything else is, God is. Amen? And this is a profound and foundational truth that I don't think we all get in the church. And it is meant to govern so much of our understanding about God. What we see in Genesis is that God made it all. God made it all. The heavens and the earth, the light and the darkness, the sky, the land, the sea, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the whole universe. He made every plant, every type of vegetation. He made every kind of animal. He made the sky, and then he filled the sky. He made the sea, and then he filled the sea. He made the land, and then he filled the land. Everything that you and I see, all of it, comes from God. Amen? And then it says he made us. We are this unique part of creation. We are his crowning achievement. It says that we bear his image. And this is a theme that I'm going to look at a little bit later on. But God declares all of it to be very, very good. And we need to understand the fundamental implications of this truth. And I want to show you something here. I'm going to draw it on here. Can you all see it? I'm kind of worried about you guys seeing it. And you guys can all see it. And this is... bring this over here in case I forget something. But here's what I want you to see. Here's nothing. Okay, let's say this represents nothing. Now, God is here. God always exists. God has no beginning. God is. He's always being. He's outside of the created order. Now, God creates. And everything that we see around us, you could imagine it like a box, okay? If this doesn't look like a box, just go along with me. But everything, so this box represents the whole created order, which would mean if there are multiple universes, it would mean all the multiple universes. If there, you know, is just our universe, it means our universe. But it is everything that we can see and observe is in the box. So the first thing we have to realize is God is not necessarily in the box. That is a massive thing we have to understand. Why? Because all of science is telling us when we look around, we're looking in the box. The only thing that science can observe is what is in the box. And where are they looking? For God to prove his existence, or for us to prove God's existence. In the box. But the Bible says you can't really do that because God doesn't fit in the box. God isn't in the box. God is much bigger than the box. Now, God fills the box. And there is a way, which I'm going to describe later, where God has linked himself eternally with creation in a sacrifice so unbelievable that it should just rock our world every day. But fundamentally, what the story of Genesis says is God is not part of the box, okay? And that's critically important. He is beyond the created order. He is beyond time and space. God is not created. And why is that so important? Because he is the source. He is the initiator. He is the agent of creation. He himself is separate from it and cannot be contained in. Let's look at a scripture. Psalm 102, 25 and 26 says this: of old, you founded the earth, and the heavens are what? The work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. Now, heaven and earth, it says, will pass away, but God will never pass away. Why is that? Because God is not part of the created order. And why can God change it? It's amazing to read that with an understanding of maybe, you know, remember the part about the two universes or two bubbles coming together and then they make this whole new bubble in the video we watched at Easter? Well, but the Bible's saying God is going to take the box, the heavens and the earth, which means everything, by the way. And he's going to change it, it says. Well, how can he change it? Because he's beyond it. He isn't in it. This thing doesn't rule God. God rules this thing. Amen? And that is a fundamental thing we have to understand. So God is going to change this. And we see also this idea with King Solomon. He understood this when he had built God a temple. In 1 Kings 8:27 it says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built." So Solomon understood. He was building a temple that was supposed to be the place where everybody came to worship God. And the idea was God lived in the house. But Solomon, even before he built it, he was saying, no. If we believe that, we're getting it all wrong. God does not live in houses made by men. The universe, the box in a sense, is not big enough to contain him. Do you understand that? That is so important for us to get. Now, why is this? Don't miss the implications. Heaven and earth cannot contain God. God is not like the idols of the false religions of their day, where you make a statue and then you put it in a temple and worship it there as if that was its new home. God does not live in the houses that are made by man, and the important implication is that everything in the box belongs to God. So that's the next thing I want you to see. Because God created the box, it's whose box is it? It's his box.
Okay, you were listening to Barry Cardall, pastor at Campbell River Vineyard. That was part two of his great message on God the Creator. Come back with part three tomorrow.